Well, thank you very much, church. Thank you, leaders. It's a privilege to work together when you saw a couple of some of our amazing leaders, and just a privilege to work together with you guys. So we thank you for that. I, too, would like you to welcome you to this service today. It's a wintry, snowy, blizzardy day outside, and so thank you for coming and meeting together with us. As we come and worship together, we sing praises to God, and it's warm in here. There's no snow blowing, and thank you, too, for the guys that were looking after the snow removal today so we could even get into the building. There's a lot of snow built up, so thank you for that. It's a privilege. I don't want to make any announcements. Please check online if you want to see any announcements. Or if you want to be on the mailing list, maybe you were taken off for some reason or you're not getting it, please let us know, and we want to help you out with that as well. There's one thing in the bulletin. It does talk about pray for Elmer Baer. His health is on the decline, and let's pray for him. Lord God, I just thank you for Elmer. I thank you for how he has served you so faithfully over the years. How he has loved you through the challenges in life. How he has been faithful even though there's difficult times. How he has had an attitude that allows him to just rejoice and be happy away from his home and his wife. Thank you for that. Now, Lord God, as he's laying and his health is declining, Father, we rejoice that he is your child. And Father, we don't know your will, but we pray that your will be done. And so, Father, today as we pray for healing, we recognize that healing may come in the form of leaving this earthly body. So, Father, we commit him to you. We thank you for him. Pray for the family as they sit around with him during the night, during the day. They are tired, they are weary, and so pray for energy and pray for strength. Lord God, would you be honored and glorified in all of this? We pray this in Jesus' holy name. So I said, welcome, and I do welcome you here. Thank you for coming. If you're joining us online, thank you. And there might be more people joining us online this weekend just due to the snow. So thank you. For our missionaries, and I don't want to mention all of your names, because if I forget some, then I would feel bad about that. But thank you for joining us online. We appreciate it. And for friends and family that join us, we appreciate you joining with us this evening and this weekend as well. For those of you here, most of you, I think, know my name, maybe online, maybe you don't know so much. My name is Gary, and I am one of the pastors here at Osler, and it's my privilege to be able to serve where God has called me. And I count it a privilege to serve at one of the greatest churches in the world, Osler Mission Chapel. And I don't say that lightly. I love my church. I love this church, and I appreciate being a part of it and being able to serve in this amazing church. We have been in a series called Whole for the Holidays, and we want to continue in that series, Whole for the Holidays. This weekend, we want to look at forgiving the small offenses that build up, leading to bitterness and hold us back from experiencing the wholeness that God desires in our lives. We want to look at the aspect of forgiveness this morning. And wholeness is on the other side of forgiveness. In order to get to wholeness, we have to walk through forgiveness. And that can be a challenge sometimes to walk through wholeness. But today we want to talk about some of the small things and moving through some of the small things. In Proverbs 29, verse 11, it says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." That word overlook there means to rise above it, to move forward, to get on over it, to overlook the offense that has happened to us. And I think if we look around in our world, we recognize that people are easily offended, and we probably know somebody who is easily offended. And maybe if you don't know somebody who's easily offended, maybe it's you. Or maybe you're not on social media, and so, but when you get into some of these places, you recognize that people are extremely easily offended. They can be offended by a post that they see on social media that has a different view or opinion than that of their own. Some people are offended because you liked someone else's post, but you didn't like mine. We get offended because we walk into a room and you didn't look at me. You looked right past me and I was standing right there, and people get offended. We get offended in different places. We might get offended at school. We may get offended at our workplace. We may get offended in different places that we go to. In fact, if you ever walk up to, a challenge that I have. When I walk into Tim Hortons and I see the person at the till and they're counting their change, 95, $1.05, oh, okay, 5, 10. You know, I'm a fed, okay, buddy. You know, you could have counted that out at home. Or I'm in the lineup. Look at me, I'm in the lineup. You should use your debit card, it's quicker. Or pay with something else. You know, we get offended by such little things that really don't amount to much, do they? We get offended by the littlest things. And those littlest things, if we allow them to build up, what happens? They continue to pile up, they build up, and they lead to bitterness. I remember, this is about 12 or 15 years ago, one of my best friends, we had been friends since we were about 14 years old. We have gone through a ton of stuff together in life. And he met a young lady, and we were excited. He got married, and then all of a sudden he decided that he was going to move to another province to be closer to her family and to start his own business. And I was offended. You see, I had already planned out our couple things that we could do. You know, we can do this together, and our friends, they're going to be besties as well, and they're going to play Monopoly till 4 in the morning. You know, I had this planned out, and now he tells me he's moving. I'm moving. Well, there's work here. There's jobs here. Yeah, but here's the opportunity. And so I helped him move. I was there. I wasn't happy about it, but I helped him move. But here's what I did, because I was offended. I did not call him for a couple of years. When he called me or texted me, I'd pick up and I would talk to him. That far I go. But I was offended, so I didn't call him. Do you hear how ridiculous that sounds? Isn't that absolutely, I was going to say moronic, but okay, I said it. Isn't it like, it's absolutely ridiculous to be offended by something this small, this simple, this crazy. And yet there I was. I was offended. I was bitter. I'm not calling you. You know what the funny thing about it is? I never told him that I was bitter. I just didn't call him. So if he watches the sermon this weekend, now he's going to realize that, oh, you were bitter. I didn't even realize you didn't call me. You know, that's how ridiculous we can be when we get offended by the craziest things. And you know what? God knew that we would get offended by these little things and these crazy little things that would offend us, and that they would build up in us, and we would mull these things over and over and over, and they would lead us down a really, really dark road. They can. They lead to bitterness. And what does bitterness do? So we go back to Genesis chapter 4. We see Cain and Abel. Cain's bitterness, it just amped up to the point of his bitter, you know, this grudge he had, it just kept ramping up and amping up. And what does he do? He ends up killing his own brother, and it started out as something little, something minor, but he didn't deal with it. He wasn't willing to deal with it. The offenses in our life, we have to deal with them. And God was well aware that we would have these struggles and these issues, and he wrote a lot about it in the scriptures. And today we're going to look at one of those accounts in Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read just two verses, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. And we're going to see what God has to tell us when it comes to the whole aspect of living together with people and what we do and need to do and deal with grudges and bitterness and offenses. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people. So this is speaking about the believer, the disciple of Jesus. Therefore, as God's chosen people. So he's talking, if you're a child of God here or watching, if you're a child of God, he's speaking to you. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You were a possession of his. You're holy. You're dearly loved. And then it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, verse 13 is where the real rub comes. This is where we have pushback in verse 13. This gets hard for us. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave. I want to read that again, but I'm going to add something in there. To bear, meaning to make allowance for each other's faults, or simply stated, to put up with each other. That's what it's saying there. And in verse 14, and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So what this passage is telling us is that therefore, there's something has happened. There's a transformation that has happened. And if you go back, starting at probably verse 7, I think it is, in Colossians chapter 3, if you go back verse 7, it details the life that you used to live, that we used to live. That we were sexually immoral, that we were liars, we were cheaters, and it goes on. And it talks about the different characteristics of what we used to be prior to becoming a follower of Jesus. And in verse 8 it says, put away and rid yourselves completely of all of these things. Anger, rage, bad feelings towards each other. There it is. Put these things away. Why? Because a transformation has happened. And if you go to the end of verse 9, I believe it says there, do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices. There's a transformation that has happened. You were unregenerate, now you have been regenerated. You were enemies of God, now you are children of God. You were once objects of his wrath, now you are objects of his love, grace, and mercy. There's a transformation that happened. And so what he's saying in here is, there's a transformation that's happened. Now live like it. This is how you used to be, but now live like there's a change that has happened. Be compassionate, be kind, be patient, be gentle with each other, bear with one another, and forgive each other. That's the transformation that's happened. But you know, we find it, even as believers, we find it challenging. We get offended by people in the church. We get offended by what people do in the church. We get offended because somebody wanted gray rug in the sanctuary. Well, actually, I don't know what kind of color this is. It looks grayish to me right now. They wanted gray rug in the sanctuary. I didn't want gray rug. You know, we get offended by those things. They didn't consult me. But this passage is telling us, no. Live in unity. We've been transformed. Does it matter what color the rug is at the end of the day? We've been transformed. Jesus has transformed us incredibly. Do you know what? One of the greatest ways to walk with somebody through this or understand this transformation is to look at it as we're taking, as it talks about in verse 13, 12, it says, clothe yourselves with these things. So back in verse 7, it's take off this garbage. Take off this characteristic, these characteristics that you once had. Now, put on these new characteristics, characteristics that are characteristic of Jesus Christ living in you, being alive in you. You have received his compassion, his incredible compassion. He has been gentle. He has been kind beyond all measure. He has been gracious, and he has forgiven us so much. And so when we walk along and we see somebody that generally, you know, when you're shopping, and I'm going to pick on parents a little bit, but please don't be offended. I kill me sometimes. but I'm going to pick on parents a little bit. But understand, listen to the whole thing so that you understand what's going on. If you are at the mall and you, this is one of those challenges that I've had in the past. And in fact, all of these challenges that I've had in the past with these parenting things, they're all pre-parent, pre-children. And so when you would go into a store, grocery store, and sometimes I still get that mentality, I'll be honest. You go into a store and there's a kid, he's crying, he or she is crying, they are screaming bloody murder, and they're throwing a fit, and what is your first thought? It's like, my goodness. Or in a restaurant, I've been in a restaurant and there's this kid, it's like, deal with your kid, I'm offended because you're not dealing with your kid. And you know what? That's, when we look at it in light of who we used to be, I get it. But when we look at it in the light of who we are now, transformed by Jesus, we become compassionate, we become kind, we become gentle, we become patient. What if that parent had a horrific morning? What's going on in that parent's life that day? One thing that I know about being a parent is that 99.9% of the time, you're running on very little sleep. And if you're like me and you run on very little sleep, you're very impatient, you're very unkind, and you're not very compassionate. And that changes how you parent. But it also changes or gives us an understanding of why that child is crying and screaming. Maybe they're overtired. Maybe they're hurting. We were at Visions a couple months ago, updating our phones, and it took a little while. And as we were there, a customer came in, and just because I was close by, I overheard. I wasn't intentionally eavesdropping, but I had the benefit of it. But the customer walks in, and he had obviously phoned into the store, asked for something, asked for a certain person. I don't think that person was around at that point in time. And they went and did some things. I didn't hear all of that, but I did hear the end. And as he was walking out, he wasn't happy at all. And he got in his vehicle and just peeled out of there. I mean, the rubber was burning. It sounded great, but he was angry, and he wanted them to know that he was angry. And my first response was, what is your problem? It was one thing that wasn't in this store. Maybe, I didn't even know what he needed or what he wanted. But here he is. Like, really, you're that rude to the staff? Then you get in your vehicle and you just peel out of there. You're trying to make a point. What is wrong with you? And I told my wife that. I said, now, you know, what's wrong with this guy? Good grief. And she said, well, you don't know what his morning was like. Huh. You know, when we come at an angle, when we deal with people of grace and compassion and kindness, how does it change how we view their reaction? How does it change how we read them? We are really bad interpreters. We interpret things incorrectly all the time. When somebody walks in and they it's almost as they looked right at you. And they walk right past you. We feel that they're snubbing us for whatever reason. We make up all kinds of reasons, but we're bad interpreters because it probably had nothing to do with that person at all. It was simply overlooked or moving in a different direction or something on your mind moving in a different direction. We're bad interpreters. We don't know what happened to that excuse me, to that person at the beginning of their day to make them. Who knows? We live in a world where it's challenging. We live in a world where people get sick all of the time. What if they're dealing with something really hard and it causes us to respond harshly? We get bitter over it. We're missing out. If I would have held on to that grudge with my best friend for 12, 15 years ago, I would have missed out on so many things. We have had probably the best relationship ever since he moved away. Why? Because something incredible happened in his life. There was a transformation that happened, a maturity in his life that happened. Him and his wife have become incredibly close friends. We love to give each other, share books that we're reading with each other, challenge each other with spiritual things. If I would have held on to that bitterness and that grudge and decided never to talk to this guy again, never to go visit them, never to have them over, what would we lose? Are we willing to lose so much over some petty little grievance? Moving from wholeness to forgiveness is hard. True forgiveness to the other side of it. But in Proverbs 29:11 it says, rise up. Rise up over it. Overlook it. Look to the other side of it. It's just a small little thing. You know, it's to your glory. It's to your benefit to rise up over and above it. Get on the other side of it. To bear with one another. To forgive one another. What does it do when we start having that type of relationship out of transformation? What does it do to someone when we're kind and compassionate and caring and loving? And this portion in Colossians is talking to believers. But if you go to Colossians 4 verse 5, it tells us how to live with the world as well, to people that are not believers. And I believe it's reiterating what he's saying here in these passages. Be loving, be compassionate, be caring for one another. What are the blessings we miss out of? We're not willing to rise up over. Move on over and above and beyond. So think about this. What if we became a people, a church, where we would bear with one another? We would forgive one another. We would walk with each other through those hardships. What if in our marriages, we didn't hold on to bitterness and hold grudges in our marriages? We do that.
We've been married for 31 years. And we've been married for 31 years. And one of the things, so here's something that drove me nuts at first. It's simple. The roll of toilet paper, which way? I like it a certain way. It's the right way. Everybody else is wrong. My wife says she doesn't care. Now, you can interpret this a couple of ways. So when I put it on, it always goes the same way to the back, to the back. Absolutely, that's the right way. It says so somewheres in, I think. But for years, I looked at it as, she's trying to tick me off. She's trying to get under my skin. She's trying to annoy me. And so there's this bitterness that comes up. And if there's another thing that causes bitterness, what does it do? And what is bitterness? What does it breed? It breeds bitterness. And so this one little thing can end up being something huge, and it can cause such a disruption in your relationship. It's about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in the washroom, okay? It's just, it feels weird. It does. But there I was, and I looked over at the roll of toilet paper, and it was new, and it was the wrong way. And do you know what? I smiled, and I thanked God for my wife, who doesn't get bogged down with caring how the stupid roll of paper is on the roller. And she's not trying to get under my skin, get back at me. And I loved it. It's one of those terms of, love that we like. I looked at it and smiled and thought to myself, I love my wife because she's not me. And she doesn't get hung up on these things. So what if we dealt with those grudges? If we got up over it, get over it, rise above it, move on from it. What would happen with our relationships in the church should this happen? What would happen in the relationships all around us? You know what would happen? People would see transformed people and they would want to be like transformed people. They would want to be like us because there's a transformation that has happened and they are compassionate. They are gentle. They are kind. They are patient. And when I'm going through it, when I'm in the thick of it, they bear with me. And when I make a mistake, because we all make mistakes, they come alongside me. And when they make a mistake, I can come alongside them. And in humility, they will receive my help. Oh, if we were churches like that, if we were people like that, what would this world be like? What would COVID be like if we didn't hold grudges, work up bitterness because of the different stands? And I'm not even going to list all the different stances that we can take in all of these things. But what if we were simply people that have been transformed by Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you that you have transformed my life. Thank you that you are a God who transforms lives. And Father, thank you that you have forgiven us so much. And then we can, in turn, forgive others. God, help us to be as gracious as you have been gracious to us. Oh, Father, thank you. And I pray that as we recognize areas where we need to forgive, that you would help us to forgive, that we would walk in forgiveness, that we would rise up over it. Move on from it. God, give us the strength to do that. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you for coming. And I just trust that you will have just a really good week, even though it's snowing outside. Enjoy your week.